With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to a podcast where we watch basketball and then discuss it in the English language live from the mecca of basketball, Auckland, New Zealand, in separate houses, social distancing. My name is Guy Williams. Joining me is my brother, who's launching his own TV show this week. It's Paul Williams.
Hello.
And also a man who moved his computer monitor 50 millimeters today in a DIY job. It's JT.
Nah, 5 millimeters. Don't get it twisted.
Wait. No, I said 5 millimeters and you told me it was 50 millimeters. Now you're going back to 5 millimeters.
Nah, but I corrected myself. It was just a measurement. It was just a conversion issue. It's always been 5 millimeters.
Okay, how do you have a conversion issue? What are you moving the monitor? What unit are you dealing in normally?
Well, not bloody, what's a famous mathematician?
Pythagoras.
Yeah, I'm not bloody Pythagoras. I'm just trying to convert things on the fly. I deal in centimeters historically, but in the, like, most tradies deal in millimeters.
Okay.
I'm just like stepping into that world from time to time.
But you know, 5 millimeters is just half a centimeter. Like, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I don't think I'd come on this podcast to be ridiculed for my poor conversion.
It's not even conversion, because it's the same. It's the same system.
Right. Okay. What do you do if I said to you, if you gave me measurements in millimeters, and I was like, oh, could I get these in centimeters? And you were like, okay, I'll just that for you. What would the word you'd use be?
Take the zero off the end.
Well, then you're an overly verbose person, and you should just use the word convert.
Anyway, okay. Glad to hear your monitor's been moved 5 millimeters. That's weird.
That's looking good. Further improvements are impending, though.
Well, glad to hear your setup's going well. Let's get into the basketball. It's time for advanced analytics. Houston is gone. Toronto is gone.
I didn't even get a chance to say I haven't seen today's game.
Get effed. No, you ridiculous person.
Is that a gag?
No. Well, I didn't know we'd just start by saying the result of today's game.
Of course you do. We've just watched the game, Paul. That was the whole...
We have a 9:30... spoiler cutoff.
We literally scheduled this podcast to be straight after today's game that we talked about it last night.
Paul, I'm usually always on your side, but this is the one time I'm not.
Well, yeah, I was just busy all day. I don't know why we did such an early record, but
okay. Well, because we want to get it out there. We want to get it out there to the people. We discussed this anyway. It's a terrible game today. It's not worth watching. Okay. What'd you say?
Was it a good game?
No, terrible. I just said terrible.
I know,
absolutely,
I know.
Shocking.
I asked the question before you said it, and then you said what?
So okay, JT, spoil it for Paul. Roughly what happened today? I'm a rocket man,
burning out as fuse I've ever known. Huge mea culpa. I also didn't see the game today, but I at least know the score. I at least had the respect enough for the podcast to look up the score.
I watched most of it. Lakers went out to a huge lead in the first quarter. Rockets got it within 10 a couple of times, and basically it was just a destruction all the way through. And to be honest, I'm glad. I love the Rockets. They've been a great laugh. They've been an entertaining discussion topic, but finally they are gone. RIP to the Rockets. Thank you for the memories. But it's good. I'm glad they're being eliminated now, so they can't be like, oh, if Westbrook was fully healthy, or if such and such and such and such was right, or Daniel House was there, they might have won. They're being like basically destroyed by the Lakers, and proven that their team this year hasn't worked, and you know it really shones very unfavorably on their superstar and highest paid players, James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
I disagree with a lot in that.
Okay, well, hit me.
So I think Daniel House would have made a huge difference. Admittedly, I have not watched the game today, but the first, four games, the Rockets were leading through three quarters.
They should have gone up 2-0 for sure.
Yeah. Daniel House and Russell Westbrook are that's what cost the Rockets. They've got it right. They're right. And the only way, the way the Lakers even kept up with them was by playing small ball as well.
This is a spicy hot take. You just realize the Rockets have just been crushed 4 games in a row to get a gentleman's sweep.
So but if you put Westbrook playing 30 minutes on the Lakers and you force him to play 30-35 minutes and you take away at what the Lakers like maybe third best defender and third best shooter, so who's that? Probably Danny Green in these days. Oh no, he's probably a better defender. So Morris,
Rondo.
Nah,
Morris is no good.
So you take away. I reckon even let's just give them Morris. You say you take away Morris and make them play Westbrook for 35 minutes. The Rockets win.
No, that's Paul? Insane.
Big mouth, Paul.
Oh, well, Paul hates Westbrook, he's going to say it. That's an insane take. Don't get me wrong. I think Westbrook's done a terrible job this series and has been a big problem for his team. But like, you add him to that Lakers team, and you don't remember, they're not a three-point shooting specialist small ball team. Like, he would fit into that system quite well in the
he
same
shot
way
25% that on the series from three. On 5.4.
You've got to remember he was coming back from injury and coming back from Corona.
No. You're the one who says don't stop making excuses for them. He couldn't shoot ever.
No. I what I was trying to say in terms of stop making excuses is every year the Rockets lose and people go, oh, if only D'Antoni and Harden had this. If only D'Antoni and Harden had this. And I'm saying this year they've finally been like squashed, like they got squashed last year, like they should have been squashed the year before, but people are like, Chris Paul rolled his ankle or whatever. And you guys are still saying, what if?
I agree about Harden. Well, but what I'm saying is, you're not, them losing doesn't disprove D'Antoni. It just like shows that Morey sort of fucked up the roster creation and shouldn't have given in to James Harden.
They definitely didn't have as good a team as the Lakers. And I mean, should we start with the Lakers and go, what a fantastic defense, absolutely locking down the Rockets for about 3 games now. And would we say the Lakers are possibly looking like the hottest team in the NBA right now again?
Nah, the Lakers are still fool's gold. I'm saying it.
Nah, I'm hot on the Lakers.
Who do you think is the hottest team in the NBA right now?
Hottest team in the NBA right now.
Who's your favorite? Who looking watching right now? Who you're liking for the championship?
It's quite tough, but I like the East. I like the Celtics.
All right.
Wow, didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, I would say that probably Lakers are favorites right now, but I've always picked the Clippers all year, and I'd say whoever comes out of the West is probably the favorite. I'm really looking forward to that. But Paul, before we get there, I've got to ask you this. You hate Russell Westbrook with a passion.
Yeah.
But you also hate LeBron James with a passion. In this series, Lakers versus Rockets, who are you rooting for?
Rockets, easily.
Rockets with but you're rooting for the Rockets, but you want to blame Westbrook. That's where you're at.
No, I think they could have won the series. Game two was 100% on Westbrook. I don't think that's me take. I think that's everyone's take.
1,000%.
He had a bad fourth quarter. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think he had a good any quarter. Did he? What quarter was good?
Wasn't he good? He was good in the third quarter, wasn't he, Westbrook? Like, didn't he help them like fight their comeback in that game?
He shot 5.5 threes a game at 25%. Like, give those five threes take him off the court. Even Ben McLemore, he's at least shooting nearly 40% on 3.2. Like, it's just crazy. The turnovers and the threes he shot are just, like, in a playoff game, you just can't have that.
Overall, though, he had a pretty decent season, and at some points was even looking like the best player on the Rockets. Like, do you not think that coming back from injury and coronavirus was maybe a little bit, you give him a bit of sympathy there?
It's just the regular season. I'm fully bought in now. The regular season and the playoffs are just two different games. I'm going to read you a list here, Guy, and you tell me if you expect that D'Antoni should win with these list of these names. And by the way, well, I've just looked up this list. Daniel House, second best shooter for the Rockets in the playoffs. So LeBron's got a lot of explaining to do. Right, here's some names.
Rewind 2 seconds. People don't understand what you're getting at there. What you're getting at there is you reckon Daniel House got kicked out of the bubble because he had an illicit affair breaking NBA protocol. And the reason he got caught was because?
Well, this isn't my theory, to be clear, but there is a theory swirling that LeBron snitched on Daniel House.
Where did you get this theory from?
I got it from a guy on Twitter who had done some like research of the very first accounts that had been tweeting about Daniel House. And this is like way before Woj or Sham. Like, no one had mentioned it. And a couple of the Twitter accounts are like known acquaintances of LeBron.
And you reckon LeBron James? So you reckon LeBron James brought down the Rockets with Daniel House? Daniel House was that important to the Rockets?
I'm not sold it was LeBron. I'm currently looking at a framed photo of LeBron. Now, I don't want to say a bad word, so I'm just saying it's an interesting theory. But I am convinced that Daniel House would have made a huge difference.
Yeah. They did seem to get pretty comprehensively destroyed in those last three games, though, did they not?
Yeah, and well, anyway, that goes back to my other point, the reason I brought this up. Now, I'm just going to give you a few names, okay?
Okay.
Okay, yeah, minutes played. Right. Ben McLemore.
Yes.
Okay. Hang on a second. Oh, what? Sorry, can I come back to this amazing...
What?
I'm back. Okay. Jeff Green.
Yes.
Austin Rivers.
Yes.
Ben McLemore.
Yes.
Jeff Green. Did I already say Jeff Green?
Yeah, you did. That was okay. Your first name.
Okay, Austin Rivers.
Yes.
Right, does that sound like a championship-winning team to you?
No.
Right, and I just don't think James Harden plus PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon and Robert Covington can win with like zero help.
But what if you read out the Lakers team and you're like Alex Caruso, Rajon Rondo, Kyle Kuzma? Like, is that very good either?
No, because I'd go, okay, so in a Rocket system, James Harden is greater than LeBron, right? So that's 1-0 to the Rockets.
No. James Harden's better than LeBron.
In the Rocket system, purely, I'm just saying, for their position in the Rocket system,
okay,
James Harden's better.
Okay.
Anthony Davis is better than PJ Tucker in any scheme. Any system, right? And then you get to Eric Gordon, and you're down to Danny Green, and it's probably Eric. You'd probably say Eric Gordon if he was like playing at all decent.
Definitely a lot better than Danny Green.
Right, then you go Robert Covington. Well, okay, so I'll give that. So Robert, it's 2-1 to the Rockets. Yeah, so
This is insane. So you're saying... Hear me out.
So the first side, four of the... So it's probably 3-1 on the top four, right? Hmm. And then from there on out, it's Lakers win every matchup. But then the problem is, Westbrook is like the worst player for the Rocket system, right? He's the worst player, but he gets like the third most minutes.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is it's not D'Antoni's fault. Small ball works, and the Lakers only beat it by going smaller. The end.
Okay. RIP. Well reasoned. It's always a good sign when you're arguing your basketball points when you line up players and compare them head to head. Something we do on this podcast quite a lot. And I definitely agree that when the tournament started, you definitely look on paper and go, the Lakers have more talent. I mean, partly just because Anthony Davis and LeBron James, you've got to take them over basically any other teams in the league's big two. Can I just turn it to Harden for a second? Because I know Westbrook deserves a lot of the blame, but can we be a bit harsher on Harden as well for maybe just kind of lacking kind of any sort of real playoffs, get up and go? You know, like, if you're going to go, can the Rockets win the series? You'd say they're the outsider's chance. I'm rooting for them. But to do that, Harden's going to have to score 40-plus a game, and Westbrook is going to have to be, like, kind of efficient. And Westbrook obviously failed at that job of being kind of efficient. But I think also Harden, like he does every playoffs, maybe didn't live up to, like, his regular season heroics, and this is kind of like a regular thing.
Yeah, he flopped.
I don't know. 30 points on 50% shooting seems fine.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me, actually.
No. Wait. Did anyone else watch the games? Did anyone watch him just, like,
I did.
Slowly I just walk around the court when he couldn't get fouls, just throwing up trash layups? Did anyone else watch him just shovel the ball out of double teams and then just stand there about 3 meters outside the three-point line, not even in spot-up position? Like, you've got to be a bit down on that, don't you?
Yeah, well, my theory is James Harden should average 50 points. Like, in the right system, again, I don't blame Westbrook for being wrong for the system. It's all Daryl Morey's fault. But anyway, so not to hark on him, but if you get rid of Westbrook and you have the perfect team, you put the perfect team around Harden and D'Antoni's the coach, he should average 50 points. So I agree with you, guy. Like, the stuff that annoyed me was the fact that he's definitely like 20 kg overweight. Or 20 kg might be harsh. But he's not looking in good shape at all, and his behavior and body language sort of backs that up.
Just his record in the playoffs now is looking pretty dismal, and that he will always have 2017 when they took the Warriors, one of the greatest teams of all time, to seven games, and Chris Paul got injured. But then he had last year, this year, the year before that, and the year before that, all the way back to 2012, where he was good up until the finals. And you got to go, I'm tired of celebrating James Harden and Russell Westbrook in the regular season for the amazing things they do, and then just in the finals going, oh, well, they were injured, or they were not, something wasn't quite right. You know, like, I feel like Harden needs a bit of that bright light that's all being shone towards Westbrook at the moment.
Yeah, I'd agree, Paul.
I'll just say, like, well, yeah, I definitely think Harden deserves blame, but, you know, at least Harden's not shooting 50% on free throws. Like, that's unacceptable. I'm famously a bad free throw shooter, and I reckon I could shoot 50% on free throws in that series.
I don't think you could, Paul. I hate to say it, but I think you couldn't.
With how much hours he puts into basketball, you don't.
I'm assuming you're just walking in. Like, I'm not assuming you've had a career of basketball to this point.
Well, he has. He's had a whole life to get ready for that moment. And
right.
So if the half shot 5.2 a game, and he's shooting 50%, he's shooting 25% from three. It's fine. It's fine to not be able to shoot, but don't play 35 minutes a game and shoot 5.4 threes a game.
Well, watching the games as well. I mean, I feel bad because I don't like Harden. I don't think Harden's great. I've hated him my whole life, but just I feel like I always have to be a little bit of a devil's advocate and just say a lot of the bad shots he did jack up were in the fourth quarter when the Rockets were desperate for some. You know, like he did shoot a lot of threes that he didn't want to shoot just because he was. And I mean, it's his fault for not being able to shoot threes, but like they leave him open occasionally.
Yeah, don't be on the court the shot clock.
Westbrook,
I don't think he should have been on the court.
He almost wasn't on the court where one of the highlights of today's game, JT, I don't know if you saw this, where he got into a verbal argument down 20 with Rajon Rondo's brother, the barber of the NBA bubble.
Oh, you know you're on the way out. You wouldn't argue with a barber if you had any confidence you were winning.
And it was just an awkward scene for everyone involved. Rajon Rondo's brother was escorted from the venue. It wasn't too bad, but pretty funny in the bubble where there's supposed to be no crowds, and Westbrook is getting into it with a heckler. LeBron also seemed not very happy about it, although maybe he was just annoyed he missed a free throw. But
will they let him keep pretty funny? Here? Like, if he's banned from attending NBA games, will he still be allowed to be the hairdresser?
That's huge repercussions. Huge repercussions for his business, because the customer base is dwindling by the day.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I'm surprised he wasn't hoping for a Rockets win to prolong the series, so he's got more heads to cut.
Also, Rockets have a lot of braids and dreads, where like quite expensive haircuts.
Yeah.
LeBron
in novelty hairstyles.
The final humiliation, besides Russell Westbrook getting into a verbal argument with the NBA barber, was James Harden getting blocked from behind by Alex Caruso, going up for a layup. And jeepers creepers, it is amazing. Because I mean, you're saying that the Lakers role players are better than what the Rockets had. They're still kind of not what you'd expect from a LeBron James championship team. Maybe it's what you'd expect from a Cleveland team. Pretty loose, rickety sort of support cast there. And it's just amazing to see Alex Caruso and especially Rajon Rondo seemingly playing like they're all-stars. It's crazy.
I always had faith in Rondo.
Did you actually?
Nah, I'm pretty sure I said he was going to be like the death of the Lakers like 2 weeks ago.
I think there's still a good chance he does become that.
You got to love at the end of, was it game 4, when he had a wide open layup and still threw an off the backboard lob to LeBron. So good.
I couldn't believe that. Maybe now Westbrook's gone, he's going to Westbrook will say, he'll get a private, he'll ring up Rondo and be like, hey, look, sorry for yelling at your brother. And by the way, you've got the mantle now. And he'll be like, what? You know, you've got the mantle. Like, they're just a horrible chucker that dribbles it for 20 seconds and then chucks up an awful shot.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing is that Rondo hasn't been a chucker in the last couple of games. He's been hitting threes and making layups. It's been
beautiful stroke.
I don't know. Because we were all incredulous, right, when he came back, again, from a crazy injury. He was gone for 7 months. And he comes back and gets injected into 25 minutes a game and they lose to the Rockets. And we're all these guys are idiots. And the next 4 games, he lights it up. And you're like, these guys are geniuses.
Yep. Well, I'll eat my hat, I think, if he continues this way.
Yeah, I'd be
shocked too. Does anyone else have anything else on Rockets Lakers before we move on to the death of the Raptors?
I had one thing. So were you surprised that the Lakers sort of gave up or revealed their true small ball lizard skin this early? I thought they'd try and keep the facade going and another couple of games, especially as they were up.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was. I must admit that I drank the Kool-Aid and was Rockets all day, baby. After game one and even game 3, I was they still had a chance. Sorry, Paul.
I don't think it was a plan. I just think that they had to do it and did it. I don't think it was a thing. They were when we get to the finals, we'll unveil this tactic.
I didn't mean it that way. I just meant protect Anthony Davis as long as possible. Because that's the real reason they do it, right? They're just trying to reduce the minutes of him. Even if he's got hide on a guy like PJ Tucker, it'd be so tiring getting, even trying to back PJ Tucker down 10 times a game, it'd be pretty tiring.
Yeah, it's so interesting that I love the narrative that he doesn't want to play the 5, and it's basketball is almost positionless now. What position is LeBron playing half the time? It's just you're a basketball player on the court. Who cares what your name is technically on the score sheet?
But Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the 5. But if you define the 5 as the person who is going to take the post position or the dunk spot and defend the biggest person on the other team.
Yeah,
but he doesn't want to do that.
It's more the defense thing.
But when the biggest person on the other team is PJ Tucker, who's 6'6" and shooting threes in the corner, then it's not quite the same, is it?
The shooting threes.
PJ Tucker.
Shit, no.
He pushed me over.
I would. He just literally just runs from corner to corner and just stands there waiting for the 3 shot, doesn't he?
Yeah, I guess.
He's not driving or posting, that's for sure.
And getting, I'd get wood burn on my knees.
A rocket man,
Let's move now to the other series. RIP to my Toronto Raptors. What a battle. What a season. They were one quarter away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals, but just in the end, I think probably Boston was the better team, and definitely in that fourth quarter was the better team.
Yeah, it was sad to see, but I don't just... The Raptors looked like one of the worst offensive teams in the playoffs, right? Like, it wasn't good.
Do you think, though, that's the Raptors playing poorly or the Celtics having an elite defense in the same way the Lakers made the Rockets' offense look terrible?
So I think column A, column B, and column C, which is, again, the theory that the playoffs is just so fundamentally different. And you need... Yeah. Like, it's the old... The old logic or the old sort of common sense of the NBA, right? Is that that's when you need a shot creator.
Yeah.
You go, mate.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, I really like that. You told me this last night. You were like, I watched a 3-minute YouTube video by the guy. Is it Myers from Golden State? Who'd you watch it with?
Yeah. That's him.
And Bob Myers, and he talked about how the difference between... I haven't even seen this YouTube video yet, but I just was so inspired by your talk that they're different. They're different games, the playoffs and the regular season. And we all knew that to an extent. But what's so fascinating is the regular season of the NBA is like a clown show, right? There's multiple players averaging 40 points a game. Scores run up into the 130s. It's like an all-star game or a Harlem Globetrotters game. And as soon as you get to the playoffs, the teams that are prospering, Los Angeles Lakers, Miami Heat, Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors are easily the best defensive teams, and just defense has really come alive.
Yep, it's nuts. I've got a game for you guys, actually, just while we're talking about the Raptors. Do you want to play it?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. I'm going to give you five players, and I want you to rank them in order of three-point percentage in the playoffs. Okay?
Okay.
In no particular order. Rajon Rondo. Okay, try and remember these names.
Okay, I'm going to write them down.
Okay, Rajon Rondo. And then Markieff Morris. That's the Lakers' twin, just in case you're wondering. Pascal Siakam, a.k.a. P-Skills.
Yeah.
Mark Gasol.
Yeah.
Daniel House.
Oh, man. Okay. So we go in order from worst to best?
From worst to best. Okay, who you got for worst?
I don't think I should worst play because I was looking at the stats quite recently.
Yeah. All right, okay.
I haven't looked at the stats, but I know almost certainly that Siakam was one of the worst worst performances in playoff history against the Celtics from three, so I'd say Siakam's the worst.
Wrong.
Who's the worst?
No, I'm not going to tell you until you can get... Okay. Oh, this is game.
Okay. Well, are we saying all playoffs or just the last series? I guess I looked by there.
Okay. New rule. It's all playoffs, and you've just got to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I'm just going to say, then I'll give you the real order. So you've got Pascal. You've got Pascal 5.
Yeah, I got Pascal 5. I'd say. I'd say Mark Gasol 4, Daniel House 3, Markieff Morris 2, Rondo 1. I have no idea about Markieff Morris, but I know that he had one game where he just came on and made three threes in a row and then left again. So I was like just basing it on that.
Right. So Paul, you don't want to guess?
Nah.
Okay. Well, Paul, Guy, this was all constructed to teach you a lesson about Daniel House, my friend. But wow. Here we go. Mark Gasol's the worst. Wow. At one shooting 185.185. And then Pascal just marginally ahead at 1.9.
I had them at 4 and 5, just the other way around.
Westbrook third worst is Paul.
Wait,
right?
That was an option.
Yeah.
You had five. You had Rondo, Markieff,
Gasol. Well, I'm just going to put Westbrook in there for the listless just to indicate how bad he is. And then Rajon Rondo. And then Markieff Morris. And then my man. Daniel House shooting a cool, 0.358.
Also, what is impressive about that stat? None of those people are well-regarded three-point shooters.
But all I'm saying is, you take away the House factor. The Rockets have got no chance.
Yeah, well, Shivers, you've proved your point. But, I mean, it's not the Rockets' fault. It was really Daniel House's fault that he did that stupid thing, right?
Allegedly, I haven't seen any evidence.
back to the Celtics, though. I've always hated this team, and I must say, they did look good. And iconic play by your boy. Who's that guy you guys love, the flopper?
Marcus Smart.
I said
Marcus Smart blocking Norman Powell to save the 2-point lead in the deaths of the game was quite an iconic play. And then Jason Tatum puts it away by getting an offensive rebound off a free throw again over Norman Powell. Norman Powell doesn't come off well in those last couple of seconds. Pretty veteran plays from the Celtics to close it out there.
Yeah. The Raptors, I feel like hard done by the Raptors because I feel let down by how exposed they got. Like they didn't get that exposed.
They just ran the Celtics for 7 games.
Yeah, but they were so lucky. Like that should have been that. Watching that series, it should have been either a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. Like they won.
No, that's crazy.
Why? Because it wasn't.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even close. I mean, the Raptors could have won game 2.
Incredibly close. Like, no, they should have lost game 3. They lost game 1, game 2. They should have lost game 3. They would have been down 3-0. Then I reckon maybe they get game 4, then they lose game 5. I think they were very lucky. Like, there was one, like, game 6 they should have lost.
But Paul, could you not make the same argument, Paul, that they were like, a Norman Powell layup or foul and some free throws away from winning Game 7 and advancing? Like, they're pretty close there.
Yeah, but I don't even think they were lucky to get to Game 7, and that was someone who predicted after they were down 2-0, I predicted them to win in 7, but they just didn't have it at all.
So let's put it this way: I think Paul's winning me over, and it's making me reflect on when I was watching the games. It was more so when the Raptors were up, it was all more a case of, apart from Lowry, everyone not named Lowry, you'd be like, wow, I did not expect that shot to go in. That's amazing. Whereas the only reason when the Celtics got behind, you'd be like, oh, where'd they missing the shot? I expected it to get in. Like, it was more Celtics poor play than the Raptors good play, if that makes sense.
This was a titanic defensive struggle. Like, both teams, I think, played amazing defense. And you've got to give some credit to the Raptors, like, elite defense for, like, containing the Celtics. And when the Celtics, I reckon, squash the Heat, you'll be like, oh, man, the Celtics are quite good.
Celtics are good. But to me, like, Marc Gasol looked like he's got to retire. Like, he just looks... Like, I don't understand why he can't shoot threes anymore. He used to be able to shoot threes, couldn't he?
Yeah, like, he looks absolutely toast. Him.
I don't really know what the stats are, but I just remember thinking, like, just put Serge out for the whole game and just have Serge, because Serge could shoot threes, it seemed.
Well, at the end of the game, they didn't play either of those players. They went completely small ball, playing OG Anunoby at center, which was this crazy battle between him and Tice. Mm. But I thought a lot of focus needs to go on Pascal Siakam, who was really locked down by excellent defense from Jaylen Brown, and they actually won Game 6. But
to me, the Raptors, it's like during the regular season. So my theory was that the Raptors were kind of coasting in the regular season, and we're going to prove everyone wrong come this playoff time. But what I'm kind of seeing now is that they were so reliant on fast breaks. And, you know, in playoffs, obviously, the other team's going to be like, we're not going to let them fast break. And that kind of exposed them as having no real... Like, their offense was basically shoot a tough sideways fadeaway three over the defender and try to hit it.
That's not what they planned to do. That's just what the Celtics made them do. Like, sometimes defense dictates offense, right?
They didn't have enough of a plan on offense at all. Like, it was just like going one on one. Well, the Rockets at least have... Sorry?
Oh, you go, Paul. You go, mate.
I don't know. Like, well, they didn't really have anything either. They lost as well. I don't know why we're using the Rockets as the...
but I'm just saying that, like, sometimes great defense really stuffs up. Like, the Celtics didn't look great on offense either. Like, great defense sometimes makes offense look bad.
So here's why... Paul's right. And here's why. You cannot... So one, yes, Gasol's easily toasted, but the difference is you cannot win if Freddie Van Fleet is your best penetrator. Like, it's with Kyle Lowry shouldn't be expected to have to, like, penetrate and get to the rim 10 times a game. The difference with the two teams is, say what you want about Westbrook, he can beat his man, he can create shots, he can get to the rim. Same with Harden. No one in the Raptors, when and the other team is a good defensive team and playing hard, could get any separation and or penetration.
Well, you could argue that both Fred VanVleet and Lowry did that, and also Siakam.
But I'm saying Lowry obviously can do it. I just don't think it's sustainable.
So I've watched the Raptors all season, and a huge part of their game is posting up Pascal Siakam, who absolutely feasts in the regular season and constantly draws double teams, and the Raptors have really good ball movement. And what was fascinating about this series that made it so compelling to watch, in my opinion, was that the Celtics just literally no double teams, pretty much, all man-to-man, straight up. Jaylen Brown just defended Siakam and just completely shut him down and took him out of the series.
Yeah.
He couldn't score on him one-on-one in games one, two, and three.
That's what I'm saying, though.
He improved.
You can't just rely on Siakam just being able to dribble past his man and just lay it in, like in the playoffs. That's just
No. You rely on them regularly scoring so they can draw double teams, in the same way the Rockets just rely on James Harden drawing double teams, you know? In the same way the Lakers rely on LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You know, you create mismatches, you create movement.
Yeah, but why would they double team him? I just don't understand it.
In the same way the Celtics rely on the Raptors putting focus on Kemba Walker, which was kind of fascinating because Kemba Walker often didn't even seem like their main offensive threat.
Yeah, but like...
Now, I know you guys both love Marcus Smart. Holy shit, did he have a good series. Almost the MVP of the series. Him and Tatum and Jaylen Brown look absolutely awesome on both ends of the floor. Am I right?
Yeah, big time. Hey, one more thing on just Pascal Siakam, sorry, before I forget it. It's only a minor gripe. But if you're like nickname / branding is P Skills, you should really learn to dribble. Yeah. Oh, it's quite okay, but yeah, Marcus Smart's the man.
He is a Gumby sort of dribbler, and that was kind of like, yeah, really. He really also, it was kind of sad to see Siakam like really lose his confidence. Lowry today said that when they lost as the Raptors, they got upset by the Wizards. He listened to every piece of criticism and used that as fire to get better. And Siakam, I guess, is in that kind of make or break position now where this will either spur him onto bigger and better things. Where the Raptors do, besides their veterans, they do have quite a bright future ahead of them with a lot of good young talent. Or will this kind of be like a big problem for him as other teams learn to defend him in the same way the Celtics did?
I think Paul's onto it, though, and I think it's the same with the Bucks. And I think it's like quite a worrying thing for the NBA to try and sort out, and it's exactly the conclusion I landed to, that during the regular season people aren't really trying to defend that hard and are just jacking up shots they wouldn't take in the playoffs, and so you get a whole lot of transition and fast break opportunities that just don't exist in the playoffs. You just get like inflated stats and teams that look amazing that just aren't going to be that good in the playoffs. I don't know what the solution is.
But I would argue that, yeah, the Raptors' offense was poor, but they were pretty good. Like, they, you know, they fell down to the Celtics, who I think will be, you know, the Eastern Conference champions. Like, it's like last year, it's like the Philadelphia 76ers were pretty good and could have gone to the NBA Finals and possibly beaten an injured Warriors team. But, you know, like they lose in a game 7 to the Raptors, and history has written that the Raptors are legends and the 76ers suck and they've, you know, got to fall apart. You know, like, do you not just think like a few balls breaking their way and we're going, wow, the Raptors are great, and how shit were the Celtics? What a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's like rip it or like burn it all down, or they probably will with the Raptors. But it's just to me the how amazing, how like markedly different you have to play all the successes and the playoffs because of the style of play.
JT, your partner loves the Raptors. What's her takeaway from their defeat?
She's not happy. It's quite a dark mood in the house today.
Here's my question. Who do we think was, if you had to say, who was the better coach?
McNurse squats real low.
Yeah.
Makes
but
it
I
look
say,
like he's trying.
I just say, based on like their offense and the shots they got, I go Boston. But Nick Nurse, coach of the year.
It's massive to take out Serge and Gasol, like the cornerstone of your team and the cornerstone of your defense, and just not play them at all for that, you know, that massive overtime game. Like even if that's that one thing alone gives, I don't know, I think that's quite a courageous move.
Yeah.
Do you think? Because I mean, the same criticism will go up against Giannis, the MVP. It is just ridiculous they don't just have the prize ceremony as soon as the regular season ends, like the day after the last game, fly everyone to New York City and do a big ceremony to celebrate the champions of the regular season so then you can move on to the playoffs and not have this weird award ceremony hanging over your head where Nick Nurse, you know, lost a game where coaching was a big part of it and now is still coach of the year kind of thing. Like, and as we said, it's a different sport, the regular season to the playoffs.
Ooh,
I don't think it's an issue for coach of the year, but it's embarrassing for the MVP. I think
it's pretty awkward. And they should maybe next time they have a playoff coach of the year. I thought the Raptors were pretty good.
I've never really liked MVP that much as an award. Like the MVP, I'd be interested to see how often the team with the MVP wins because I feel like it's not great. It wouldn't
yeah,
be
well,
that.
It is. The problem is, it's just a regular season award, and we've often had this debate of is it the but player also, you most want to take with you into the playoffs, or is it the player who just had the best statistic regular season, and normally goes to the player who has the best statistic regular season.
If your team is, if one player is putting up crazy stats, I don't know if that's the best sign for. Like,
so here's an interesting question: if Giannis is not the MVP because he's limited and can be stopped as the Heat showed, who is the MVP who you would want to take into this playoffs now?
King James.
LeBron? Paul,
yeah.
Who you want? Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple-Double?
No.
Stats don't lie.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd not sure. I'd have to think about it.
I love Kawhi Leonard and would normally pick him in a heartbeat, but in the last couple of games, LeBron has been heating up quite nicely, and you're like, oh, holy shit, are we looking at another run? And I just cannot wait for LA versus LA. Holy shivers, what a series that is going to be. Assuming the Clippers wake the hell up.
Yeah.
Two of the most hateable teams I think I love LeBron, but man, I hate the Lakers, and I really hate the Clippers. Just rosters.
I agree.
Paul, you're going to pick an MVP?
Yeah, I'm slightly confused what it means. So
would you want to lead your team? If you could pick any player from the playoffs,
I'm starting a new franchise. I'm starting a new franchise.
No, well, you just said the MVP was a trash award, and I agreed because it's like it doesn't stack up in the regular season because like it doesn't matter. You know, like Harden wins it and then goes and flops in the playoffs. Giannis wins it, goes flops in the playoffs. Who's the real MVP, the player that you want in the playoffs to take you to the finals, kind of thing this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess for me,
Jimmy Buckets.
Well, I love Jimmy Butler, one of my favorite players. But I guess the thing for me is like,
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I prefer a team that's like got balance, and so I'm just struggling to.
So in the Italian Serie A, they have an award that's like best team award, and it's like the most meaningless award possible because it just goes to the team that won. But is that what you're suggesting, Paul? Like just best all-around team?
No, I don't know. But I just think to be on a great team, you would sacrifice stats and be out of contention for MVP.
A lot of players do that. Kawhi Leonard and maybe Jason Tatum. I tell you what, I've never been a fan of Jason Tatum.
He's good.
His beard creeps me out, but man, he is looking good at both ends of the floor. I love Mark Jackson pointing that out. He loves to go, Jason Tatum's a great offensive player, but did you know? And he's acting like this is like some sort of like groundbreaking research. He also plays the defensive end of the court. And you're like, thank you for the analysis, Mark Jackson, expert stuff.
I love Mark Jackson. I wish he'd get another chance in the league.
who should he coach? The Knicks?
Anyone. Well, you know, think about it. Steph Curry, he had like real bad ankles, right? And then Mark Jackson blessed them and put that holy water on them. Double MVP, maybe. Hey, just on the MVP thing, I just wanted to get in there. We're not the first people to have actually struggled with this. And there is another famous example of an MVP evolution. MVP in the Bud series, most valuable primate. The next one in the sequence was most vertical primate. Now, that would apply to basketball as well. And would that be simpler? Just goes to the person with the highest vertical each year.
They should do that. I always wish the All-Star game would have fastest full court sprint and fastest and highest jump. I think that would be cool to find out who's like got the most springs and got the most pace.
Coolest guy as well. That would be. They should just do it more like a yearbook, you know, like a high school yearbook.
Who would win? Who would win coolest guy though?
Westbrook. Westbrook is the coolest guy. He is the coolest guy.
He's. I'd say one of the least cool.
Paul's fuming right now.
Okay, who's the hottest guy? The Serge. It's got to be Serge.
I don't mind. I don't mind Kuzma. I don't like Kuzma as a. I don't think he's very cool, but I think he's quite.
As hottest guy? No. You're losing it.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I just panicked there. I didn't know who to name another hot guy, so I just threw out a guy who's kind of wavy, and I retract that. That was a mistake.
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown's cool and hot.
Yeah. Jaylen Brown's not hot. His beard is like... Whoa. He's got a good beard. His beard is weird, and his hairline is like the opposite of receding. It's like proceding towards his eyebrows.
I reckon Jaylen Brown's almost a triple threat on looks, cool, and political.
Agreed.
Yeah, definitely Jaylen cool. Brown. I definitely like him as a guy, but I don't think the other players would think he's that cool.
Here's one. Yeah, I think they think he's cool.
He's like famously smart, and there's nothing cooler than being smart. If any kids are listening, study up. If you want to be cool, stay in school.
Nice. Inspirational.
Yeah.
Do we have time for final thoughts or a Magic Mayhem or something like that?
I don't have a lot for Magic. Oh, yeah, I'll talk about Magic Mayhem, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it. It's time.
Don't talk over. It's that time, right about that time, for the stars to roll on out.
I used to be jealous of Mary to follow.
Taking every game personal. I'm Alfred. Wow. It's Chumo Kiki, and you're listening to Magic Mayhem with Paul Williams.
You're magic. Okay. It hurts me to say this, but I think it's time to trade Nick Vucevic. And here's why.
Wow.
His value will never be higher. He's coming off a good series against the number one seed Milwaukee Bucks, opposed to last year where he had a bad series against the eventual champion Toronto Raptors. And here's an underrated reason why, I think. So last year he was being locked down by Mark Gasol. Mark Gasol really, you know, just locked him down, defended him hard. This year he was essentially not being marked at all by Brook Lopez, who instead would just sag right in and just defend the paint and leave Nick Vucevic open to do whatever he liked. And if anything, I actually think Vucevic probably should have scored more points and had almost better statistics. And therefore, I think we trade him now, not for any other reason other than his stock is up, possibly, and we could get something, get some young stuff back, or some picks or something. Yeah.
Huge.
Strongly JJ, agree.
You're a deputy Magic fan. You totally agree.
Yeah, I think I actually think the Magic blew it not trading him the last time his stock was up. When was his first All-Star? Was that two seasons ago, Paul?
That was last year.
It was last year. Season, yeah.
Man, trade it. Like, to be honest, the reason I say trade it the most is from, you know, the photo of the Balkan boys dinner when he was eating double burger. You could tell that everyone had already had seconds and he was ordering another one. He's not taking it serious.
I stand by my theory that he wasn't invited and he saw them and he joined them late, or like maybe he was invited. But anyway, I'm sure he was like swimming and joined them late or something. That's my theory.
Paul's gone rogue for a second there.
Here's the thing.
JT, you still there?
No, I can hear Paul.
I think he could be...
Oh, he's gone rogue for me.
He could be... Nice. Oh, can you hear me?
This has gone to shit. I can hear everyone. But...
Paul, are you back there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, you're back now. Cool. Sorry, my fault. Start where after JT talked. Go back to where you were.
The thing is, I think... Oh, the bit about the towel?
The fact that he was straight from... Yeah, now that was the part I had the biggest issue with.
Yeah, my theory is that he was like swimming in the pool or something and maybe wasn't invited to that dinner and then joined them late or something and ordered his food that they'd already eaten. But the thing is, I think he's got value. Like, a team would want him because he's a big man who can shoot threes. So... It's not like I'm saying the Magic need to scam someone, but I'm just thinking get something back. I just can't figure out who and what we'd get. I've been playing around with a few things. Like for a while, I was like, Sacramento need to change things up and we could get Buddy Hield. But then I did some digging into Buddy Hield and I think maybe he's not good and we don't want him.
And he's really highly paid as well, Hield, right? Like,
yeah, but I mean, we need to salary match anyway. But And then what was the other one? Was better, I think. I had a better trade idea. Oh, I had one idea that was like to the Spurs. So okay, this was one of my big trades was Vucevic and Fournier and something else, like maybe Aminu to the Spurs for an old LaMarcus Aldridge. An old DeMar DeRozan, and is this crazy? Do you guys reckon? And
well, it's pretty funny. I like it. Like, it's both all players that like you can't imagine anyone wanting. So why not? Like, it matches.
And yeah, I mean, our goal should really be to get young talent. I can't remember the end of that Spurs trade, but
all right, JT, DeRozan and Aldridge for those guys from the Magic. Who says no?
Oh, I say no.
On behalf of who?
On behalf of the Magic fans, because then you've got one guy that can shoot, and it's Nate. Well, you've got Terrence Ross and Evan Fournier.
Can DeMar DeRozan shoot threes now?
In theory, no. But he won't.
Oh, Steve Clifford will make
mid range, baby.
Here's what I'd do. I'd go LaMarcus Aldridge. So we don't even care about those guys, but just bring Aldridge and DeRozan just for a bit of a laugh. But Keldon Johnson is the target. He's tied in there.
Wow.
Get a young player with promise. And they've also got like that Nigerian guy.
Trading with the
like,
Spurs.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I should stick to targeting poorly run teams. I was trying to figure out something with the Wizards, but they literally had nothing I wanted. Except I did discover a guy called like Garrison Matthews, I think. And I think he could be a gem. I think he barely played for them. But he's a free agent anyway. So I'm like, we don't even need to trade to get him. And I don't think he really played at all. But I want to see Garrison Matthews in a Magic uniform. And that's the end of Magic.
Now, just to stir the pot a little bit, JT, you made the huge call this week that you are losing faith in Markelle Fultz.
Shit, I didn't want that public, but Yeah, I just don't think so. It's not so much that he can't shoot, it's just that he's not that good at the other things I was expecting him to be good at. Just doesn't seem to be that impactful. But Paul, talk me off the ledge here, mate.
It was a terrible matchup where the Bucks just do everything they can to take away the paint, aka Markel's bread and butter. So essentially Markel was showing up to every game and he was like, time to sit down and enjoy a nice piece of bread that's been buttered. And Brook Lopez and Giannis were like, hey, mate, we're taking that bread and butter and we're taking it away from you. And as a result, also the let's be honest, that was Magic B. Like, we had Gary Clark and James Ennis.
Yeah, the Magic
and
were underhanded. Yeah.
We were literally, okay, it's crazy you think about who we were missing. Jonathan Isaac, Aaron Gordon, Al-Farouq Aminu, Mo Bamba, even someone else.
Yeah, you were definitely underhanded.
It was literally half the team was gone. And
is Aminu a plus, Paul?
Aminu is a plus. He's a plus. He was starting for Portland the year before, and a lot of people had a I was reading online, people had a theory that one of the reasons the Blazers kind of struggled was they missed Aminu.
True.
He's good on D, I think, and can kind of shoot.
Do you reckon Aminu's good enough to get Magic Player of the Week this week?
No, he hasn't played for so long.
Mate, every week we have this argument. You've nominated people for Player of the Week who don't even play for the Magic. Like, that's not part of the problem. Who's Player of the Week this week?
Player of the Week. I mean, I haven't seen a lot on social media. Oh, I know who. Okay, I haven't spoken about this. So you know how the Magic are the leading team in the league at dropping fire ass tracks in the music world. So
more than any other team.
So yet to play rookie, Chuma Okeke has joined them by dropping an album.
Wow.
So congrats to Chuma. And check it out. I actually haven't listened yet. I kind of forgot. It's been out for a while now, but I forgot about it until right now. But Chuma Okeke.
It's hard to keep track of all the music the Magic are releasing, though, because like you need a huge Spotify playlist to fit all that heat in.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you unfamiliar, Aaron Gordon's dropped some fire tracks. Wesley Wundu's dropped an absolute banger. Now Chuma Okeke's joined them. Yeah.
I've got a trade here, Paul.
Okay.
How does this sound? Vucevic.
Yeah.
Okay. Traded to the Pelicans.
Okay.
For Drew Holiday.
Yeah, I'd be keen. I love Drew Holiday.
Who says no? And the Pelicans need...
I think the Pelicans say no.
But I don't think there's I think there's no room for Drew. You need more shooting around. If you're going to play... If Zion can't play the five on defense, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You're going to need to play him at small forward the next couple of years. You need to then have shooting all around him. Zion pick and rolls.
Yeah, right. So Lonzo, JJ Redick at the two.
Brandon Ingram.
Zion. Vucevic at the five. I don't hate it.
No, I love it.
Yeah, I can.
Let's do it. Get on Reddit.
Yeah.
Let me ask this right now. $1,000 to bet on the NBA championship today. Who are you putting that money on?
I find it so hard. Like, I'm not even sure about Celtics Heat.
Yeah, but I'm just. Just for fun, just throw someone out there, JT.
Okay, I don't find it hard at all because there's only one man in the NBA with his eyes wide open, and that's Michael Porter Jr. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Nuggets for the title.
No, not allowed. Not allowed. I'm not accepting that bet. Who are you seriously putting your $1,000 on?
Lakers, but I do think the Nuggets could pull off an upset.
I think Lakers. Now, I've picked Clippers all year, but Clippers are struggling to switch it on. And Lakers are switching it on, and I can't believe I'm saying that. I don't want to see LeBron win, but I love Kawhi, but I think Lakers at this point are looking like the better team. Paul, you got?
I'm still not sure, but I'm putting my money on the Eastern Conference.
Wow! So Celtics or Heat?
Yeah.
You love to see it. Yeah. And I'm putting,
you know how like you can short, like on the big short, I don't really understand it, but they like short stocks where they're like bidding against them or something. I'd like to put my money on the East, but also I'd like to short the Lakers.
Wow, I like the sound of this. Love shorting.
I don't really understand.
See, I'd go the other way.
But...
I would short the East for sure. But Shivers, when you get to that finals, a team from the East has to be in it, and yeah, anyone could win, as proven kind of by the Raptors last year. Thank you all very much for listening. I've been Guy Williams.
I don't do that anymore.
I've always done it. Always will do it.
Nuggets for the title. Shout out to Michael Porter Jr.
You didn't let him do it.
Yeah. I was. I don't even know. I don't want to do it now. I had such a good one. Now I know how Paul feels. Is this what happened to you, Paul? And then you stopped doing it?
I don't know.
Did you ever do it?
I can't remember. I don't want to do it, and I don't know.
If anyone goes back to listen, they can find out. Anyway, I've been Guy Williams. See you later.
Okay.
Goodbye. Peace.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.